Will the young people come and join me? Come on up, buddy. It is so good to see everybody. How are you doing? Oh, Zachy, are you okay, buddy? Okay. All right. It's good to see you. Does anybody know what today is? Yes. It is Mother's Day. It is Mother's Day. It is Mother's Day.
And I got a flower.
You got a flower?
Yeah.
Oh, did you get one for your mommy?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. That's very nice. It is Mother's Day. Now, we do lots of special things for Mother's Day. When all the mothers leave today, they're all going to get a flower. We have a very, very special brunch that has been prepared. And oh my goodness, you should have seen all of the men here cooking this morning. Zachy, just a minute, buddy. Just a minute. You should have seen all of the men here working this morning. Do you know what I figured out this morning? Is men love to get together without women. That's what I just figured this morning. That's why there were so many men. And Mrs. Fetzer told me it was because then there would be nobody around to tell them what to do. I think that's true. What, Blake? Joshy, sit up, big guy.
And I was one of those people.
Yeah, I know you were one, too. Yep, you were being a big helper this morning. You want to stay here with Nanny? Anyway, so that's a very special thing, and I hope everybody is planning on staying, because if you were here last year, you know how awesome this brunch is that the men prepared. But what is it that we can do for Mom today to tell her how much we appreciate her? What do you think we can do? What?
Say thank you.
Izzy, what can we do? Yep, just a second. What can we do? Just a second, buddy. We can do what? Okay, give her a hug and say I love you, Jenna. Give her a card, Talia. Yeah, kiss, that's right. Well, you know what? Let's see if we can't make a list. What are some of the things that we want to thank moms for today? Dear Mom, it says, thank you for, yes, Charlotte. Oh, for loving me. Oh, that's a good one. Yes, Izzy. Oh, for buying you stuff. Buying what you need. See, I'm a mom. I know how this works. I'm keeping you out of trouble, sweetie. All right. Okay, what else? Yes, wait. Okay, we already have loving me. Okay, anybody else, Jenna? For helping me. Okay. Zachy, what are you going to thank your mom for?
Minions.
Oh, for getting you many minions. We have to put minions because if you know Zachy, you know he's all about minions. All right. All right. Okay, yes. Is it? For what? For driving you places. That's right. Okay, yes, Talia. Everything she does for you, and that's a lot. Does anybody go hungry at their house? You? How about for feeding you? For feeding you. At our house, that wasn't much, but nobody ever went hungry. Anybody else? Yes? For taking, well, driving you places like school and church. Yeah. I think Izzy might be on to something. Now think about this. Who is it mostly at home that teaches you about God? Your mom? At your house, are you the one that talks most about God? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Okay, but she teaches you about God. Okay, now you know what? Here's the deal. What do you do, buddy? You get flowers. You're all about the flowers. Okay, now here's the deal. Here's a bunch of things, but you know what? If we could go on and on and on, and we could fill up this other side, and we could fill up just everything, because you may not know all the things your mom does, but she does your laundry. She changes the linens on your bed. She makes sure your clothing are in the drawers or in a pile in the corner, depending on how that works, okay? But she makes sure all of those things are taken care of. She makes sure you're fed. She makes sure that you get a haircut. She makes sure that your fingernails and your toenails are cut, for heaven's sakes. This is someone who looks after everything about you. And you know, moms do that without any thought that they're going to get anything back. Jack, come here, big guy. Zachy, sit. Jack, come. She does that without any thought that she's going to get anything back. And why do you think she does all of those things? Zach, sit. Why does she, you think, Jack, sit down, big guy. Why, Izzy?
Because she loves you.
Because she loves you, that's right. Because the Lord entrusted you into her care, and she loves you more than she loves herself. And that's something that's very, very, very hard for us to remember. A mom loves us more than she loves herself. And that's the kind of love that we then pass on to the next generation, our children or those who the Lord brings to us to care for. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you for moms. And we thank you for all of the things that she does for us. And we thank you that she loves us more than she loves herself, and that she teaches us how to love, and that she teaches us about you and about how you love us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this, wait. Okay, I know where you're at. I'm watching you. I got my eye on you, buddy. Okay, now what I want you to do is today sometime you have to give your mom a hug. You have to tell her you love her, and that would be the best gift of all. You make for sure that you have a flower for your mom today, okay? Yes, Blake, did you want to say something, buddy? Okay. She is a big help. You know what? She's a big help to me too. She is. She's awesome. Okay. All right. Now you can get your. Do we have junior church today, Miss Tanya? On Mother's Day, we all take a moment to appreciate mothers. We remember if they are no longer with us, and if they are, we take a moment to honor them. Now, today's message is not about how to be good to your mother. Today's message is about a mother who had to make some really hard choices for the welfare of her son. Being a mother is not for the faint-hearted. Being a mother requires making tough decisions. Decisions that are sometimes risky, sometimes heart-wrenching, decisions that always require faith. Take, for instance, Moses' mother. She's only mentioned a few times in Scripture, and even though she flew under the radar, so to speak, if we take a look at her life, she really gives us a great example of a mother with faith. In fact, she even made it into the Faith Hall of Fame when she is mentioned in Hebrews 11:23. Now, her name, according to Numbers 26:59, was Jochebed. She was Moses' mother. The nation of Israel had been in Egypt for almost 400 years, and we know how it went. They grew, they prospered there. Before long, they became a threat to the reigning Pharaoh. So Pharaoh forced them into slavery. He worked them hard, he treated them brutally, but they continued to grow and prosper. So he turned up the heat on them. He commanded the Hebrew midwives to murder the newborn sons of the Hebrew women as they were giving birth. And when he figured out that he couldn't rely on the midwives because they feared God more than they feared him, he tried another approach. He told his people to stay on the lookout for Hebrew little baby boys, and if they saw one, they were to throw it into the Nile and watch him drown. This was the time that Jochebed became pregnant with her third child. She didn't have to worry about her other older children, Aaron and Miriam, but this new baby would be fair game for any patriotic Egyptian in a really bad mood. Can you imagine living with that kind of fear? You know, when I think of the times in which Jochebed lived, in the time in which she was called to be a mother, I think of some mothers today. Now think for the mothers now who have lost their daughters in Africa. 276 young girls kidnapped by Muslim terrorists who said that they had it coming because they had the audacity to go to school. Think of the mothers of young children even in our own country today who can't even let them go out and play in their own yards because they might be snatched and unspeakable things done to them. Think of mothers of youth who try to teach their children right from wrong, who try to instill in them a sense of godliness to their character, only to have those very young people, those convincingly lied to, in a world that wants to make them cynical and hopeless. These are challenging days also to be a mother in our world. In a dangerous world in which she found herself, Jochebed stands out because she did physically what she could to save her child. Then when she was out of options, she depended totally on the faithfulness of God. Jochebed was really a model of faith. Now, first of all, she really had a courageous faith. Jochebed had a courageous faith. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says about Jochebed and her husband. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, even though the king said that all the male Hebrew babies had to be thrown into the Nile, Jochebed and her husband deliberately disobeyed the king, and they hid Moses for 3 months. Now, that takes courage. Imagine how hard it was for them to hide this child. It is sometimes impossible for any of us to sit quietly for an hour in worship with an infant. But somehow, Jochebed succeeded in hiding Moses. You know, we often think of faith as very passive. You know, we sometimes use the whole let go and let God attitude as to get us out of having to be proactive to do anything in our faith. You know, that whole sarah, sarah, whatever will be attitude, you know, that just makes me crazy to hear such complacency in the life of a believer. Real faith is an active thing. Real faith many times calls us to do risky things. Real faith requires us to be proactive in the living of our lives. I think of mothers who have been unable to conceive, and they have seen this as an opportunity to adopt children who might otherwise spend their lives in an orphanage. Do you know, that's courage. That's a courageous act of faith. I think of mothers who are married to unbelieving husbands, and they defy those husbands in order to raise their children in the church and in the midst of a faith community. That takes courage. I think of mothers who stand up to a teenage son or daughter, and they say no to something that every other mother is saying yes to. That takes courage. I think of mothers who give up a lucrative career so they can stay at home with their children when everyone around them tells them they're crazy. That's courage. And what gives these mothers this kind of courage is they fear God more than they fear man. What gives these mothers that kind of courage is they want to please God more than they want to please their friends or their children or even their husbands. These are mothers who trust God. They trust that as they are obedient to what God is calling them to do, in the face of threatening circumstances, that he will take care of them and their child. Now, Jochebed also had a faith that was very, very sensible. She was not a crazy lady. After 3 months of hiding her baby, Jochebed saw the handwriting on the wall. She knew that this was not going to be able to go on. She made a little wicker basket. She covered it with tar and pitch to make it float, and she put it in the reeds of the bank of the Nile. It is significant that we understand that the word that is used for basket in this account is the same word that is used for ark in the Noah account. That's significant for us. Noah's ark was covered with tar and pitch, just like this one was. But both Noah and Moses were in an ark. which is really not a very safe place to be, considering there is no way to externally control an ark. It is a place of complete trust in God. In the case of Moses, the Nile was known for crocodiles. Did you ever think about that? Today, people get eaten along the banks of the Nile by crocodiles. They lose children all the time there today, even today. Moses was completely helpless in a river filled with crocodiles. But I want you to notice that Jochebed was not careless about this. She was sensible. She didn't send him floating down the middle of the river. She put him in the reeds along the banks of the Nile at a well-known gathering place for Egyptian women of high birth. She was thinking. It was like leaving, a little bit, like leaving a baby on the steps of a hospital these days. You know, the safe baby program they have. Or maybe leaving a baby at a firehouse today. Jochebed was sensible. Now, she had good reason to believe that that baby was going to be found. She didn't just put him in the Nile, wave goodbye, and say, "Have a nice life, Moses. Maybe I'll see you again someday." She had Moses' older sister hide to find out what would happen to him. You see, if Jochebed herself would have stood in the reeds, you know, or stood by the reeds watching and waiting, you know, they would have been on to her. It would have been so obvious who she was, but Moses' sister made a really good spy. When Moses was discovered in the Nile, his sister offered to find him a Hebrew woman to nurse him, and this whole plan fell into place. You see, Jochebed was clever. She was proactive. She was sensible in her planning. And part of being sensible, you see, is knowing how to improvise. You know, I had a wedding years ago where at the beginning of the ceremony, the mothers lit the candles. Now, if you've ever been at a wedding I've done, you know that at this point when the service, the wedding begins, I'm in the back. Well, apparently this mom wasn't paying very much attention, and she lit her new acrylic nail on fire. Lighting it, you know, she just wasn't paying attention, you know, and they're flammable. I used to wear those things. Anyway, she calmly lit her candle from her burning nail, and she blew out her nail, and she returned to her seat. Now, other than the groom's mother, no one knew of this incredible fire hazard until the reception when she was nursing her burnt finger in a glass of ice water. Now, you're laughing, okay, but that could have been ugly. You know, that's a funny story of how mothers can take what is a potentially dangerous and disruptive circumstance and calmly turn it into a moment of sanity. Mothers do that. She could have made a huge deal. She could have disrupted the service, you know. She could have been a drama queen about the whole thing. But she was a good mom. And she didn't want to take any of the attention away from her daughter on her big day. That's a good mom. There are mothers who have chosen to give up their child for adoption simply because it was the best thing for the child. For some women, you know, that is a gut-wrenching decision. That is a decision that requires an enormous amount of faith and foresight, and tough, fierce love. I also think of mothers who would love to be stay-at-home moms, but the family finances just won't allow it, or they're single parents, and that option is not there for them. They find a way to make it work with what's best for their kids. Now, for Jochebed, her courageous, sensible faith was rewarded by God. As Moses floated along the bank of the Nile, the daughter of Pharaoh arrived with her slaves. The text said that she saw the basket. She had it brought to her. She opened it. She saw the child crying. She had pity on him. She knew he was a Hebrew baby. She knew he was in danger of being killed. You know, it was a standard procedure for wealthy women of the day to hire a wet nurse to feed the child until it was weaned. Now, we wean our babies around a year old, but that was not the case. They just let those babies nurse until they didn't want to nurse anymore. So they were talking by the time, and they were still nursing. That was for a while. That was for a couple, even a few years. So at just the right time, Moses' sister moves in, makes the offer to help fulfill the custom. She then goes and finds Jochebed, who now not only gets to raise her child, she now gets paid for her work. Surely you can see God's hand in this. A mother who did what she could But there was no way she could have pulled this all off on her own. This required miraculous intervention from God. I love it when there are twists and turns in Scripture that sometimes we miss if we are not paying attention. Think about the paradox here. The Nile River, the very thing that Pharaoh was choosing as an instrument of death, became the very thing that saved Moses. I just love that. Not only that, but Jochebed was even following Pharaoh's orders by putting Moses in the Nile. She was being obedient to Pharaoh's decree. A member of Pharaoh's own family came to the river at just the right time and rescued the future rescuer, who just coincidentally, by the way, chose the exact right time to cry. Just saying. The baby was reunited with his mother, who was then able to raise the little guy, singing all the Hebrew songs and imprinting on him all of the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then Jochebed releases him to Pharaoh's daughter after he's weaned. Moses grows up in Pharaoh's court, where he learns law, rhetoric, mathematics, hieroglyphics, and war tactics, even. You can look that up in Acts 7:22. And then Moses is called to lead 2 million people through the desert, and he puts to use all of the lessons that he learned in Pharaoh's court, including war tactics later on. Oh my goodness. That is just a plan that comes together, isn't it? Now, did you notice, though, that God is never mentioned once in this passage? There's no question, though, his hand was all over it. There are things mothers can do proactively, but ultimately, we leave it in God's hands. And I think for a mom, that is the hardest thing. Don't you think that's a hard thing to do, moms? To let go. A mother's love never changes, but being a good mother is the constant process of letting go. Letting your child make their own mistakes. Letting your teenager learn some things the hard way. Letting your adult child follow God's call, even if it means they will live a continent away. So my message this morning is, mothers, take heart. God will use your courageous, sensible faith to accomplish his purposes in the lives of your children. And he is working behind the scenes to accomplish his purpose in your children's lives. He will use you. He will use your proactive faith, but it is not all up to you. You know, one of the noteworthy things about this passage is it's the prominent role of women with motherly instincts. They have a lot to play in this story. Jochebed saw that Moses was beautiful. Pharaoh's daughter saw the basket. She saw the child crying and had pity on him. Moses' sister stood at a distance to know, or to notice, the word would be, what would happen and when to act. What we sometimes fail to put together is that this was a foreshadowing of what God was going to do for his people. Later in chapter 2, it is God who is now looking on his people who are suffering. And we are told in verse 25 that God saw, same word, the sons of Israel. And that God took notice of them, same word in Scripture. Not everyone is really kind of comfortable with this imagery, because it really kind of suggests that God has some motherly instincts for us. That he is moved to compassion, to have compassion for us. And that he is moved to save us with some of those same adjectives. All of these instincts cause him to see us as being worthy of being delivered, as being worthy of being redeemed from our helpless, sinful condition through the death and burial and resurrection of his son. He sees us. He has compassion for us. He has pity on us. You know, someone asked a full-time mom one time, "What is it that you do for a living?" And she answered, it's hard for me to say this, "I am socializing two Homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation." And then she said, "And what do you do for a living?" Being a good mother is not for the faint-hearted. It means doing the really hard thing sometimes. It means sacrificing. It means putting your children before yourself. But ultimately, mothers, our ultimate purpose in life is to pass on a courageous, sensible faith that will instill in our children a knowledge of and a faith in and a love for this God who sees them and who knows them and understands that their deepest need is salvation and that he has decisively moved to accomplish that work in and through Jesus. That's what our job is, to instill that knowledge in our children. That's a big, big job. But moms, don't worry, because it is not all up to us. God is holding our hand. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we praise you and worship you. We thank you, as all parents, that we're not in this alone. And we pray that we would live balanced and godly lives, that we would teach our children what they need to know about you, and even more important than that, that we would show them what it means to be a Christian by the living of our own lives. But we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. Now, I can't emphasize enough how important it is for you to come down and have brunch. The men worked very, very hard, and they even used it as an excuse to get out of the sermon. So please come down and have brunch. And we will be having actually confirmation class briefly down at the brunch as well. So that we're coming into that. So please be mindful of that. Prepare your hearts for the benediction. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.